Blog Talk Radio.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, and entertaining discussion. Welcome.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. What's up? What's crack-a-lackin', my peoples, my peeps? Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Dave and GC Rock Show right here on Airwaves America. I want to thank you for coming here tonight. I want to thank you for hanging out with us. You didn't have to, but you did, and I want to thank you for that. We have a great, great show for you tonight. My homie Dave made fun of me on the last show when I wasn't here. Talk about how I always talk about we have a great, great show. We do. We do. We have a great, great show. Lots of stuff to talk about, so we're going to get into it. But before we do, got to give you a little info for you, just in case. If you want to call into the show, very easy. The call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, 516-387-1705. You can call into the show if you got something to say or you got a question. All you got to do is hit the one on your dial pad, and that will show us that you have something to say, and we'll bring you right in and we'll talk about it. If you want to check me out, you can always check me out at gski at airwavesamerica.com. That is gski at airwavesamerica.com. You can also check out Dave. Same thing. It's Dave at airwavesamerica.com. And that's how you can find us. We're out there. Once again, it seems like forever, but I'm still working on a website. I just got a lot of stuff going on, so I haven't got around to it yet. But it's coming. It's going to be there soon. But, you know. Once it's up, it's www.airwavesamerica.com. Airwaves, W-A-V-E-S, America.com. So that's all the good stuff. Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. I'm G-Ski Rocks on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I'm G-Ski Rocks on Twitter and all that good stuff. So, and you can find Dave out there too. Dave is Anti-Commie on Twitter.
With a K.
Spell that for him, Dave.
Anti-Commie. K-O-M-M-I-E. Anti. Not auntie, but anti, as in opposed to.
There you go. There you go. So what's cracking, Dave? What you got
what's
going
crack-a-lackin',
on?
What's crack-a-lackin', man? My man, my man. Hey, guess what? I just did a search. We're on page 3. That's where I found this show. Yeah.
On
page 3 now, baby, up from 7. Whatever
we're
that means.
We're moving on up. Just like the Jeffersons.
To the deluxe apartment in the sky.
Indeed.
Yo, indeed. Hey, well, yeah, like you said, welcome to all the peeps that are going to be here. We got a great, great show. Not only because we say so, but mostly because we say so. All right.
That's right.
Hank Jones just joined into the chat. I don't know who that is. Do you?
Yes, of course I know who Hank Jones is.
I was on
Hank Jones' show. Okay, I called in. Good. That's my homie.
Welcome, Hank. Thanks for coming in, brother. We appreciate it.
Yes, we do. And we also have Sue from New Mexico on the line. And I want to say thank you so much to Sue, because Sue was a little bit under the weather. But despite all that, she tweeted out the show, and she did it in a gangster way. I mean, she really went out there and tweeted the show for us, and she's not feeling well. So thank you to Sue so much for all that you do, despite being under the weather and everything else. I'm praying that you feel better, that you get better, and we all do the thing, especially eating bacon, because I love bacon.
Oh, bacon. Bacon, baby.
Yeah.
You're going to open with that, huh?
Of course. Because of everything that you went through last week, I'm going to talk about bacon. Yeah. And I'm going to make sure that we play the bacon song.
All right.
For all who love it.
Mm. And for those who don't, we don't really care.
That's right.
We got a really big show for you, folks. A really big show. What are we talking about today, G?
Oh, there's lots of stuff to talk about. We'll hold off on the stuff that we were talking about earlier, because I think that's going to take a good while, and we want to really sink into that. So, however, I want to talk about the Wuhan flu. That's what I want to talk about.
Okay.
Because now you have Biden and his administration talk about that we need to investigate, and they are considering the fact of the matter that it may have generated or came out of that lab in Wuhan. Something that Trump was saying, and they said he was crazy. Yeah, everybody dismissed it and was calling everybody who mentioned that, anybody who said the Wuhan flu or anybody said that it came out of a lab in Wuhan, everybody was dismissed as crazy Trump zealots.
Conspiracy theorists.
Yes. But now they're saying, because
what that makes them then, right?
What does that make them?
Conspiracy theorists.
There you go. And I bet you they hate that.
They ignore it. But
yeah,
you're right.
They'll yeah. It. And it's a trip, because I was searching the net earlier, and I found, you're not going to believe this, I found on CNN an article discussing this, and in this article, they were really thinking about that the Wuhan flu came from that lab, something that they've been calling us crazy about and all that other stuff, but yet they're now considering it.
Without one iota of acknowledgement on how they behaved earlier.
Right. Which is crazy. See, what you were talking about earlier is as far as, a couple of shows ago, the gaslight media.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we have going on. They want us to think now it's not a conspiracy theory, and they have been thinking about this the whole entire time. And it's not so crazy anymore.
Well, yeah. And they can't, it's like they're trying to save face, but they don't realize they've lost their head. You know what I mean? How do you save face? You don't even have a head. You don't even have a head to have a face on the front of it. It's gaslighting is a couple of different things, and you know, to just kind of revisit a couple of shows ago, one of the first things is they will accuse the other side, whoever it is, you know, a gaslighter will accuse their enemy of exactly what they are doing. And the way it works is whoever gets that accusation out first has the credibility, because
right.
who are you going to believe? Me, who said that they were liars, or those liars over there? So that's
right.
The first way that it works. And the other way that gaslighting works is to just make something up, everybody get on the same page, and hit it to death. You know, Russia collusion, Russia collusion, Russia collusion, Russia collusion, quid pro quo, quid pro quo, quid pro quo. I can't even keep going on that. I'll pick a different one. What's another one? You know what I mean? I just can't. I don't have the dexterity in my jaws today for that one. But anyways, so yeah, it's like, you know, they'll make something up. You know, the Steele dossier, that was just a paper that, you know, that somebody wrote that on at behest of Hillary's campaign as opposition research. And then it became a thing. Hey, let's see what we can do with this, you know, and it turned out to be in the end, you know, the big lie in that sense, you know. But that's how the gaslighting aspect of it works. They will either accuse you of what they know they're doing, or they'll just make something up and keep saying it. What's this? Alex Jones would be the conservative right-wing gaslighter. Hate to admit it, but the conservative right-wing isn't immune. I would go along with that. I would agree. Alex Jones, he's the gaslighter. Absolutely. That's why he's I can't take anything that Alex Jones says. Sometimes he's right, but he's got other things in there that are just so far out there, it makes the things that he's right not credible.
Right.
Whether it's true or not, and some of it is. He's been right about a few things, that's for sure. Got to get, you know, credit where credit's due. But I'll agree that is gaslighting. Yep. Good one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
I'll go along with that.
Yeah, and I remember Senator Tom Cotton. He was pretty much the first person on the theory that it generated from that laboratory in Wuhan. And Tom Cotton was considered crazy. I think somebody, it might have even been somebody from CNN that said that that they called it a fringe theory of conspiracy origins. And they tried to deem him crazy. A crazy conspiracy theorist. And now everybody's reversing. Like, yeah, we knew this the whole entire time. You know, we were just
we were just kidding.
we were just kidding. Yeah. That's the ticket. We were just kidding.
Let me go back one to the last Hank comment about Alex Jones. I will agree Alex Jones is a gaslighter, but I don't know what you mean by the right side, because I'm a conservative, but I don't consider myself a right wing. I'm kind of like, if it's in the Constitution, I'm all for it. And the even Republicans even Republicans who would be considered on the right, only because no one ever considers anything as left, but they would be considered that, they don't have the balls to do as much gaslighting as the lefties do. So that's my you know, response to the both sides do it. Yes, both sides do it, but not to the degree that one side does. Only because they're too spineless. I would almost get behind somebody who knew that they were doing and was fighting fire with fire. I could almost get behind that. But then I would have to say, okay, yeah, no, all right. They knew it was a lie, and you know.
Yeah.
All right. Good. All right.
And you, what I don't get is they were, you know, Dr. Fauci and all these other people were saying, well, we believe there were two theories. They said it originated naturally. And then the other one was it came from an animal and passed on to a human. But the thing is, what animal? How did this animal pass it on to him? Where was this animal located? Questions. When you talk about it came from an animal, they won't even name what animal it came from. They just say an animal. Where was this animal at? Where was this animal located?
What are you talking now, or are you talking back when they started? Because they were
back
trying
when
to
they, back back when they started.
They were trying to say it came from a bat from a wet market, where they have cages and cages of animals all stacked one above the other, and you know they poop, of course, you know, and it goes right down through the cages, and you know it's not a sanitary environment for the animals, because they have, you know, you've seen the movies where they have, you know, stacks and stacks of like a chicken or two in a cage, but they're stacked on top of each other.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And they, you know, and they have functions that they perform, and it's not hygienic, let's say.
Yes. I mean the idea on how they're stacked and all that other stuff, I would totally agree, because I've been to China, I've been to one of their markets, and it was probably one of the nastiest places that I've been. I wouldn't buy not one thing from that spot. Not me. No, sir. I had to get out of there. It kind of made me sick. And the crazy thing.
Y'all are buying food at this place. Y'all are buying food.
Yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, Bigfoot just said, I heard someone said they were making bat soup. But, the new science that's out, and I'm going to have to visit this. This was I think it was last Sunday, the guy that was the guest on Life, Liberty, and Levin, he was the science guy for the New York Times. He's retired now. But he was digging into all of where this was coming from, and he understands, you know, a science manual or a science, you know, lingo, and he knows the ins and outs of all that. And there was no evidence any place, according to this guy, that this had any makeup of animal proteins or anything to do with an animal. This is a coronavirus. It came from a lab where they collect coronaviruses magically, right? And they got a grant from a third party from our government, who paid a company a grant of money. That company then sent money over to the Wuhan lab in China in order to see if they could weaponize and they call it gain of function study, where they study how to make something that more lethal. So they sent money to the Wuhan lab, where they were not only collecting viruses but studying gain of function on viruses.
Right.
That's what I learned about that today, listening to his show. And, you know, magically, this virus escaped. You know, there were a couple of scientists there that got sick. I wonder with what, you know, and then it kind of got out from there. But that's what they were studying. They were studying how
right.
to make a virus more lethal. That seems, you know, that seems to be exactly what happened. One of those, was it Spock said, you know, that you take the most obvious answer, and that's probably what it is. No, that's
yeah.
not. You said something else, but it doesn't apply here. But any case, but that is when you're looking around, how convoluted can you make it, and how much can you chisel off and say, okay, A plus B equals C. There you go.
Yeah.
When you distill everything else off.
Yeah, and those three scientists were hospitalized, all three of them.
Gonna break loose.
So I think we can kind of figure out where it came from.
And then weren't there a couple others that kind of like dropped off the grid?
Yeah. Yeah. And what irritates me so much is that Trump started an investigation. And
okay, before you get to that, Hank Jones just reminded me of a bit that I remembered learning earlier. There was a moratorium on United States gain of function scientific research. There was a moratorium on it. And, Fauci and his pals were the only ones that could have made the exemption to cut the grant to the third party company. I can't remember even if they said the company's name.
Right.
But it was that company that then
I don't think they have.
It was that company that then sent the stuff over to the Wuhan lab where they were obviously doing gain of function stuff. So we did not directly fund any gain of function research. Because there was a moratorium on it in the U.S. Well, isn't that like having a black site jail or something? They just okay. It's in this country. We're renting the space.
Yeah.
We can treat you however we want.
Yeah, and
so
like
then,
I was.
So then you started to say. Go ahead.
Trump started an investigation, and China, I don't know whether it was out of fear, more than likely it was out of fear, or respect, but they were cooperating with the Trump administration. And once Biden came in, that was one of the first things that they did. They shut down that investigation. They said it was crazy. And now that they're trying to reopen this thing, China said, you know what? Screw y'all. We're not helping you out in one way.
Yep.
So, I mean, we always hear it in the end. They call Trump supporters crazy. They call us conspiracy theorists. Now they're calling us murderers and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, when the smoke clears, guess who was right?
Yep.
It happens every single time. And that is the same instance about what me and you were talking about earlier before the show with the voting thing. When the smoke clears, we're going to know. Yep. But the question is, like you said, what are they going to do about it, though?
Unimaginable. Because the pressure is coming from above. Okay, well, who's above these people? Right? I mean, no one is taking responsibility for, for steering the direction of things. It's just... it's almost like there's some big, huge Dr. Evil someplace doing steering the whole ship. And what do you have on these guys? You know, what? Maybe we should get a whole new everything, all new people, and that way they won't have had time to be corrupted yet. But I don't know.
Yeah. But I think this is what we need to do, because I'm on my dialysis machine right now, and I'm about to get off. So I think what we do is you go more deeper into all of that, and I'll be here. I'll be in
how
and out.
How the hell do I know? Wait. No. How the hell do I know? I gave you all I know on that. You can't do that. No. You stay on that machine until I tell you. I'm looking for, and it's not where I found it this morning. It was the guy that was doing selfies in Nancy Pelosi's office on January 6th.
Uh-huh.
So, all right. So how would I find that?
That's a biggie too. Seeing that Senate just shot that down. That commission. I think the commission is stupid anyways.
Yeah.
I think the commission is stupid anyways. And,
it's a gaslighting deflection by.
Yeah.
They know. They know. What
exactly.
We're
yeah.
They just need to bludgeon Trump some more.
Yeah. And out of the more than 250 people that have been indicted, as far as the insurrection, well, the quote insurrection, end quotes, because out of the more than 250 people, nobody has been charged with that. Nobody.
No, they've been charged.
Yeah, they keep on calling it an insurrection and all this other stuff, but nobody's been charged for it. Every time they mention it, it's an insurrection. But nobody's been charged for that.
Right.
Almost all of them, like you said, have been charged for trespassing. There's been a couple weapons joints, but most of them, I mean, almost all of them have been charged with trespassing.
I don't know
what's going on. And, you know, they already said that they're going to have a hard time prosecuting any of these people.
Yeah, but they still have them in jail.
I know.
And they're in solitary confinement, and they're getting, some of them are getting beat up, according to the, you know, some of the reports. They're getting beaten up. They're getting horrible treatment. They're getting put in general pop. They're either general pop or they're in solitary confinement. You know, since the 7th or the 10th, you know. And they've been in jail, not having been charged.
Yeah, and
somebody is violating some rights here, because
the whole
speedy trial thing, the whole face my accusers, and all those things there. They're just walking right over it.
Yeah, and. Most of the people in jail are probably not Trump supporters.
Oh, hold on. I'll tell you what. I copied the link. Yeah.
All right. Most of those people probably aren't Trump supporters. And, they're probably just beating up these guys on a daily. And like I said, they already said that they're probably going to have a hard time prosecuting any of these people.
All right. Richard Bennett, age 60, traveled from his home in Arkansas to hear Donald Trump's speech, then made his way to the Capitol complex. He entered Pelosi's office, where a few photojournalists just happened to be stationed. Barnett put his feet up on the desk, posed for the cameras, and left Pelosi a note. And then in parentheses, the author of this this piece said, "He is quite a character, I can safely say, after a lengthy phone interview." So 2 hours later, the photos went viral. Pelosi's daughter, Christine, posted the picture of Barnett at 3:21. "The Trump rioter did vandalize her office," she tweeted. "The trash will be removed and the seditionists will be prosecuted." Well, Pelosi's daughter. That incident started a legal and personal nightmare for Barnett, who spent nearly 4 months behind bars. Tell you what, G, go ahead and extract yourself, and I'll go on with this. Okay.
Okay. All yeah, right. you probably heard my machine. So.
So. All right. That incident started. All right, you go ahead.
I'm gonna bail.
All right. Started a legal and personal nightmare for Barnett, who spent nearly 4 months behind bars before a federal judge finally released him in April. By the time Barnett arrived home on January 7th, his family had already had received death threats, and the FBI was at his door. Barnett was arrested on the 8th. He was indicted January 29th on various trespassing and disorderly conduct charges, including possessing a dangerous or deadly weapon, which was basically, they said, a walking stick that can also be used as a stun gun, except there were no batteries in it. So here he is. He said, I was transported to a prison in Oklahoma City for 2 weeks. By the way, this is from AmericanGreatness.com. That's where I found this. Oklahoma City for two weeks. Barnett, who goes by the name Bigo, B-I-G-O, told me in a phone interview Tuesday afternoon, "I had never been to prison before. It was my first experience. I thought how awesome it was that even though you're in prison, you're treated with respect and everyone follows the rules." But Barnett's inaugural experience in America's prison system quickly soured after he was transported to the nation's capital. Like dozens of people charged with offenses related to the Capitol building protest, Barnett was ordered to remain behind bars in a D.C. jail with no chance to make bail, even though he has no criminal record and faces no violent charges. Joe Biden's Justice Department nonetheless is seeking pretrial detention orders for many Capitol Hill protesters. In some cases, prosecutors argue the defendants pose a threat to society because they doubt the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. In some cases, prosecutors argue the defendants pose a threat to society because they doubt the outcome of the 2020 presidential election. So what does that make all of the people who doubted the outcome of the 2016 election? What it makes them realize is, oh, crap, we need to cheat more, which they did in 2020. So the government opened up a shuttered jail facility specifically to house the January 6th detainees. The accused are in restrictive housing. Ostensibly to protect them from the jail system's general populations, but the conditions there are anything but special. Because of COVID, they are not allowed to leave the quarantine cell for any reason. Once the quarantine period is over, detainees move to another permanent unit, which is not unlike the quarantine quarters. First off, all the cells are contaminated with black mold. Even the sink we are supposed to drink out of, Barnett said. The guards gave us some kind of cleaner, but it didn't really work. The cells are roughly 70 square feet with a concrete slab for a bed, a toilet, and a sink. I mean, that sounds like 1920 jail cell or something. Detainees are held in solitary confinement conditions for 23 hours a day. Breakfast, Barnett said, arrives at 3:30 in the morning and is some kind of inedible slop. Dinner usually consists of bologna. How much bologna? I mean, one slice is just slice of bologna? Holy crap. During their 1 hour of free time each day, detainees must attend to all personal business, including hygiene, such as a shower. The men don't have access to shaving gear or haircuts. The barbershop is closed. The best we could do was use a toenail clipper they gave us. Okay. More detainees, however, spend the hour on the phone with family. They are worried about their family there and about their finances. Barnett, a former firefighter and bull rider, said he counseled the younger inmates whenever he could. Nothing phases me, but these men are worried about losing their homes, and this was 3 months ago. Many of them are young and have never been in jail before. I prayed with them when I could, tried to talk them through it. The guards, Barnett said, go out of their way to make life harder for the detainees. It is purposeful and deliberate collusion to make every facet of your existence miserable. And this includes, for instance, physical abuse. I guess they slammed his face into a concrete floor at one point. And after confronting the guards for not following prison rules, because he had read the DOC handbook when he got there, and accusing one guard of sexual harassment, Barnett was placed in the D.C. prison's general population as punishment. Sounds lovely. For a trespassing charge. I'm just looking through here. I don't need to read the whole thing, so. The prison's library is closed. Access to law books and other reading material is non-existent. The detainees started their own newsletter with paper and pencils purchased through the commissary. They also sing the national anthem at 7 o'clock each night to lift morale. These guys are patriots. There is no attorney-client privilege. There's no privacy during discussions, and video calls can take up to 2 weeks to schedule. Sounds lovely. As Barnett would like to, very simple. The guys are still working. So here we go. I asked Barnett what he would like to tell the American people about what's happening. Very simple, he said. Pray for the guys who are still in here, they're not working, and have a family to support. Help pay their bills. So listen to this. Barnett and his lawyers will soon launch a website where people can donate and learn more about his experiences and follow his trial. In parentheses, it says, GoFundMe, according to the guy's lawyer, said they won't permit accounts to help raise money for January 6th defendants. So GoFundMe is woke. Freedom is not free, Barnett said. Unfortunately, for dozens of political prisoners held hostage by their own government, freedom appears to be a long way off. That was written apparently by Julie Kelly, May 25th, 2021, for the website American Greatness. Well, that was kind of cool. That was nice. So lovely conditions for people who were trespassing. And then you have the peaceful protests that happened all summer long that members of Congress were raising money to get them out of jail. one thing I said to G-Ski, I talked to him a couple of days ago, was that there seems to be one set of rules for Republicans and for Democrats, no rules whatsoever. That seems to be what's going on now. It's a two-tier justice system. It's supposed to be blind, but it's not. What I'm trying to figure out and trying to noodle through is how are they going to make the distinctions between who they want to support and who they want to destroy? If Facebook and Twitter are spying on you, or you know, wherever else you go, you know, the kind of things that you post, I'm sure there's algorithms that can figure that out. In any case, who knows what's going on, and how they're going to do it. I think they just go to the star belly sneeches thing and just, you know, the people they want, put a star on their belly, and the ones they don't like, they don't. So that way, you know, if you're in the club, you have to have a star on your belly. Anyway, that's one of the articles I looked at this morning. I thought that was interesting. Not a main point, but a good one, as far as these guys have not had any due process. They have not had any, they've had their civil rights trampled on. And it's basically because they're accused of insurrection, but they're not, nobody's convicted of that. They're convicted of what? Trespassing. I mean, there's a big difference between insurrection and trespassing. So the more they say insurrection, the more people believe that's what it really, really was, unfortunately. Gaslighting. So that's what's up. Let me go in a different direction until G-Ski comes back. I'm going to go to... Well, there's been a little bit of movement in the audits. I don't know what happened in Georgia today, but there was some kind of a celebration going on that they said if today they counted the votes, if they counted these ballots, Trump would have won it by, you know, 80,000 votes, and he would have gotten all of the electors, and you know that would have taken care of that. I don't know what happened. So apparently, in some of these audits, they're actually counting. They've discounted enough illegal ballots to take away whatever lead that Biden had. So I don't know what's going to happen. It's one of those things where, you know, oh, it's going down. It's going to be this. It's going to be that. I have to take a step back and say, let's let it play out. You know, if there was something I could do, maybe I'd do it, you know, to help the thing along. But I don't know what to do. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not in that line of work. I'm a mailman. You know, I don't know what they're, you know, I don't know how to go about doing those kinds of things. So, the Arizona audit is still going on. And I think the only running news that we can find is that no one can stop that audit, with all the ridicule that's been going on, with all the impugning, with all the, you know, accusations of, oh, it's a conspiracy, and it's, oh, Rachel Maddow says it's the big lie that, that Trump actually won that. If it's a good election, what are you afraid of? You know, that's the big question. Why can't we go and look? You should be proud. You should be, all right, go ahead and take a look. I think it's because she knows something was monkey and monkey business was going on. So that's no one can stop the thing. So now I think they're trying to get passwords to the Dominion machine so that they can, you know, forensically audit the machines themselves. And they're not getting up off the passwords. No one's giving up the passwords. And, you know, I apologize because that might be what's going on in Georgia. There's like three or four states, even in my state, New Hampshire, they in Windham, New Hampshire, they've been auditing ballots. And, you know, you can count the ballots and count the ballots and count the ballots and count the ballots. That's fine. You're going to probably all come up with, you know, right around the same number and the same result. But when you go in and look at which ballots are legal and which ballots are fake, well, there's a whole different number coming up when you eliminate those. Whole different numbers coming up. So, you know, if nothing else, what this should do is kind of like spark some interest in some other states and get the attention of some other state legislatures. If they're Republican controlled state legislatures, there are still a few. There's more than these five or six states that have a Republican legislature. Audit your ballots and let's just see where the chips fall. If everybody's doing it, everybody can't be the conspiracy theorist. If everybody's doing it, then that's going to expose it. And then, you know, like I've been saying, where's the buck going to stop? Where does it go? Somebody who mishandled ballots or tried some monkey business may not want to take the hit, so they roll over on somebody above them. And so on up the line, up the chain. And I just haven't seen it yet. That's the thing. We haven't brought even the lowest level person in yet that I know of anyways. And believe me, it's not, this is the kind of thing that certainly doesn't hit the top of the hour news when I'm listening to the radio, you know, they're ignoring it. Other than to impugn it and mock it. So, how we doing, G-Ski?
I'm back in house.
All right.
I am back in the house. Yeah, I'm done now. I just want to chime in a little bit, especially because here in Georgia, I think I had mentioned this before, here in Georgia, after the election was over, I mean, this was on the news. They were telling people to come down to Mercedes-Benz Stadium and either sign your absentee ballot or try to match the signature on the absentee ballot. And like I said, that's illegal, but it was on TV. This is after the election. They're saying, yeah, come down here. Some of them had no signature. Some of them, the signatures didn't match. And they were telling these people to come down so that they could either sign it or compare signatures or whatever they were doing. And they were counting these ballots.
Right. They got run through the machine anyways. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what this is.
That's illegal.
Right, but that's what this audit is filtering out. It's filtering out all the ones that, you know, didn't have a signature or you know, all the ones that didn't follow the rules. Like you said, remember, in order to request an absentee ballot, you got to have a reason. You know, those, and that was the rules on the books. And so anything that came in without a reason, you know, even if it was, you know, oh, because of COVID, you know, even if it was that, I'm sure they would have taken it if that was on there. But they changed the rules in some of these states to say, okay, you don't even need a reason. Just ask for a ballot. You know, we'll handle the rest.
You right.
Know? So those are now, and it should have been done, you know, this is exactly what should have been done immediately. They, you know, wait a minute. These shouldn't have been counted. And, you know, it's like I said, you know, well, we can accept mail-in ballots just in case some of them got lost in the mail. You know, we're going to extend accepting mail-in ballots for, you know, 10 days after the election. What the hell?
Yeah.
All they have to do now is say, okay, now how many do we need? You know?
Yeah.
You got 10 days to get me, you know, 30,000 good ballots, you know?
Yeah. And I remember back then, I may have mentioned this too on a prior show, but they had a guy on the news that said that he had voted twice, once absentee.
Yeah.
And then once in person.
Yep.
And I am pretty sure he's not the only one.
I had air quotes friends on Facebook that when the post office was in question, they were saying that, you know, you guys are going to be overwhelmed you might not be able to handle everything. I got a call. I had somebody calling in and lost my train of thought. The mail, 10 days after, shoot. Sorry about that. What was I saying?
Whether you guys were going to be overwhelmed and.
Yeah. Right before that, I was just trying to think, because it was a pretty good point. My son started calling me on the phone. I had to find it. Well, all right. So
old age would do that to you.
Yeah. That happens. I know. I get it. I don't know if I told you this one, and it might come back to me as I just move along. I think it was either in Georgia or it was in Arizona, where they had these military votes that came in, and there were 950 military votes. Okay, 950 military votes. Follow me on this. Okay, Joe Biden got 950 of those military votes. Trump got zero. Now,
yeah,
you're still with me, okay? These military ballots. Now, how does a military ballot work? Go ahead. The guy ballot, he folds it, he fills it out, he folds it up, he mails it, right?
Right.
All right. Let's see if you can figure what's wrong with this one. These military ballots somehow were in perfect numerical order from 1 to 950.
Wow.
But they got sent through the machine. Hey, look, we're doing good tonight.
That's crazy. And they're trying to say that we're crazy. How in the world could that happen?
Can you imagine? It's like, what am I missing? What am I missing? You know, when you say, oh, you know, there's no way, you know, of course Biden won. Of course he got 80 million votes. Of course he got more votes than anybody in the history of the world. Right?
Except
who had all of the action all summer long for 2 years, you know, long Trump trains, long, you know, rallies, you know, tens of thousands of people at rallies. Tens of thousands. He had, what, 50, almost 60,000 people at a rally. I think that was in Arizona.
Yeah.
There was a Trump caravan that was 100 miles long.
Okay. And they were scared. They were super scared. And then the corona thing kicked in. They said, "Ooh, we got it. Don't worry about it." And then, of course, Nancy Pelosi, there's no way. There's no way that Trump's going to win.
Yeah.
And she was pretty firm about that.
Right.
Because they knew that the fix was in.
Well, how much and here's what I wonder, you know, all the time, if any one of these things happened on the other side, how shrill would they be right now? You know, oh, they had ballots come in, 950 ballots in numerical order, all for him.
Mm-hmm.
Any one of those things would have been a disqualification, would have been an impeachment.
Yeah.
Instead, they had, like I said before on another show, instead they had to make stuff up to impeach him, which they did twice. Make stuff up.
Failed twice, but, I mean, they made it up nonetheless.
All right, why don't we hit a top of the hour thing? A couple of minutes. We'll take a quick break, and then I'd like to get back into the think for yourself series that I've been working on.
Oh yeah, I'm down with that.
Yeah,
I'm down with that. So peeps, we're gonna take a quick break. We'll be back in a second after a couple of these breaks. All right, we'll check you out in a second.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
We can create a million new manufacturing jobs in the next 4 years. If you believe in a country where everyone gets a fair shot and everyone does their fair share and everyone plays by the same rules, yes, our road is longer, but we travel it together.
Imagine the breakthroughs that are on the horizon. And just beyond.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
America, I never said this journey would be easy, and I won't promise that now.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Yes, our path is harder, but it leads to a better place.
Mama, are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
Not yet.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet?
Are we there yet?
It's literally around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which hunger is vanquished by crops that don't depend on the soil, water, or fertilizer, or pesticides to thrive.
Are we there yet?
They're just around the corner.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Imagine a world in which nations no longer depend on nuclear weapons for their defense.
Tell me, mama, are we there yet? Tell me, mama, are we there yet?
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager, Learning the Lingo.
Today I'm going to help parents translate teen slang. Now, when a teen says something is on fleek, it's exactly like saying, that's rad. It simply means that something is awesome or cool. Another one is totes. It's exactly like saying, totally, just shorter. As in, I totes love going to the mall with Becca. Another word you might hear is jelly. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will think you're, rad just the same. To learn more, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
I love life. I love life because there's a challenge and something new every day. I was told when I was getting married that I had this kidney disease, and my three sisters had it, and two of my brothers had it as well. It slows the kidneys down till they stop working. I tell myself that this can be rough and hard, but you can live, and you can be happy. I go to dialysis three times a week. I spend 4 hours in the center. It's good to go to dialysis and see somebody care about you. I'm a social worker by profession. I like being around people. It is important to listen to your technicians and your doctors, your nephrologists and dietitians. If you don't talk to them, they don't know you're feeling bad or feeling sick. By working together, you'll feel better. I got my husband, I got my family, I got my job. I visit different places doing health and wellness like hospitals, dialysis centers, clinics, and do workshops concerning prevention for kidney failure. Dialysis affects people in different ways. Find out how it affects you so you can be able to beat it to the punch, so you'll be able to be active and do things that you want to do. Be educated about what's going on with you and your body. I try to enjoy life more than what I have before. I have kidney failure, and I'm living well.
When we do Internet Talk Radio, we receive support from a great many areas. We have listener support, of course, and some who help with the promoting. One group that often goes unrecognized are the wives of Internet Talk Radio hosts. They are the ones who tolerate our dalliances and the time we invest in our hobbies. Well, this is one way we can properly recognize those who are closest to us by broadcasting their sincere sentiments regarding our passions.
Are you going to stay up all night? You have family, you know. You're always at that computer. How much money do you make with that radio show? You're not the only one who lives there, you know. You better come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents The Dave and GC Rock Show. Thanks for joining our informative, stimulating, thought-provoking, and entertaining show. Welcome.
Hey, welcome back. Welcome back to the David G. Ski Rock Show right here on Airwaves America. Thank you for hanging out with us. Thank you for just chilling with us, because you didn't have to, but you did. So I want to thank you so much. Before we move on, If you want to call into the show, the call-in number is 516-387-1705. Once again, 516-387-1705. And all you got to do is hit the 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let us know that you got something to say or you got a question. It's real easy. Real, real easy. Now, Dave, I got to say before we move on, I so love the Wives of BTR. I love that. I'll play it every single time because I love that one so much because it's so funny. It's so funny. You are brilliant when it comes to
how
that stuff.
How much money do you make with that dumbass radio?
Yeah. In the beginning, when I back way back when I started doing these shows, I used to get a lot of that from my wife. Because at one time I was doing a show 3 times a week, and I was going for 3 hours, not just 2. I was going 3 hours, and that was 3 times a week. So yeah, my wife wasn't all that.
Come and eat. I'm not bringing it in there.
Yeah, she wasn't happy with me for a while, for a good while.
But then you said, "But honey, these people love me." And she just looked at you. Right? You just looked at you.
Yeah,
and she. Go live with them then.
Yeah, she didn't understand what we had going on, man. It was some serious business back then. Yeah, she didn't understand, but she eventually fell in place.
What?
No. Yeah.
What happened is you got your priorities straight. Let's go with that.
No, what I did, I still may have them, but I kept all the emails that I used to get. I mean, I used to get a ton of emails about the show. You know, some of them were hate emails, of course. Uh-huh. You know, calling me a token and all that other stuff. I'm used to that. But yeah, I got a lot of support from a lot of people, and I used to hold on to those emails. I still may have them, but I haven't looked in this cabinet in years. But what I also wanted to say was one promo that you did, or commercial, whatever you want to call it, Are We There Yet? Man, you were way ahead of the game. You had to have done that one probably around maybe 2010 or maybe 11 or something like that.
Yeah, that's about right.
But I mean, you were way ahead of the game. You had Joe Biden on there.
No, I mean,
him talking that crazy stuff.
All I was trying to point out was, you know, whenever they make their promises, everything is just around the corner. It's just over the horizon. Well, here's some speeches of them saying exactly, literally those
yep.
You know, those little concepts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just like they've been fighting poverty forever.
Not really.
And they flood all this money. Well, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know what you mean. But see, here's the difference. Here's a big difference. Okay. Myself, I would love to solve these problems. Except the people that keep bringing up the problems thrive on having the problem. They need the issue. They don't want
yes.
to solve the issue. They need the issue. So that's a big distinction that you can make to somebody. You know, if you're talking about, you know, if you're debating somebody, you know, when they talk about, you know, the rich, or they talk about the poor, or they talk about, you know, whatever the issue is that they're, whatever the grievance that they've heard about is, you know, okay, there, here's some things that combined with actual human nature will solve the problem eventually and lift people out of their poverty by driving them out of it. Like Benjamin Franklin said, you don't lift people out of it, you kind of drive them out of it. You don't give them a choice. You need money? Okay. Look, we got all these jobs. That was a thing from Benjamin Franklin.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of a way for somebody, you know, to be able to just kind of think for themselves. They need the issue. They need the people who they say are in these groups. And I'm going to get to that in a second. They don't ever want to solve the issue. And that should be clear by now. They cannot have the issue solved because then they're out of business. And that's
right.
And then they're out of power. With the issue, they have power and they're in business and they're making money. They're raising money. People are giving money and they're living well.
Yes.
So the good segue into the think for yourself, part of the show that I'm going to do until I, you know, run out of stuff to think about or forget about it, one or the other. This is a segment called Think for Yourself. It's a concept I came up with in order to, rather than debate people who are going to argue media narrative talking points, it's a way to help them think for themselves. And I'm gonna have to give kudos to my buddy at work who kind of got me into this, because, you know, I like him. You know, he's a good guy. He's a cool guy. The only problem is once in a while he talks about his progressive values, which to me, I hear that phrase, I hear an oxymoron. So, the first one that I came up with here was, you know, when you hear of a grievance, if you're about to argue for the poor, if you're about to argue for, you know, underprivileged, if you're about to argue for minorities or whatever grievance somebody, you know, some group of people may or may not have, where did you become aware of this grievance? Was it firsthand? Was it somebody in the group, or was it someone on behalf of that group? Because if it's on behalf of that group, then wherever you're hearing it, they're just somebody who's trying to agitate you, trying to sell it. And make it seem like it's a mainstream thing. So, you know, if you talk to a person playing necessarily on behalf of a group, I mean, and if they're complaining about their situation and not complaining a media narrative talking point, if they're arguing about their own situation, they're not arguing on behalf of the group. If they're agitators, then yeah, they're complaining on behalf of a group. The problem is, who in that group appointed that person the spokesperson?
Right.
So that's the first one, and then I might revisit that one again. I got another point on that. So here we go. This is kind of goes along with it. So thinking for yourself, I want you to think, is it better to be thought of and treated as an individual or stereotyped as part of some group? Like what group are you in? I'm in white males. You know, I'm a suburban woman, you know, you know, could be inner city minorities, Hispanics, LGBT, Asians, whatever group. Even if you fit into one of those groups, who did you elect to speak on your behalf? You see what I mean? So
yeah.
The people that are going on and on about, you know, even in some of these, okay, even in some of these PSAs or whatever from the Ad Council, there are so many, 35% of kids in schools are going hungry. You know, really? Is it really that many? I bet it's not. Maybe there's a few, but that's, you know, they're just trying to get money from people who feel sorry for that huge swath of students who might be hungry at school. Well, why are they hungry? You know, they got breakfast, lunch, and dinner from schools now. You know, there's not anybody that doesn't do that. You know, so the point is, whatever group it is, first of all, it's an exaggerated group. Second of all, it's a stereotype group. And even if you do fit the puzzle pieces of your life fit into one of these groups, did you elect that person to speak for you? Do they know anything about you and your problems? No. No. You have to think for yourself. They're talking about a big group. Well, that's kind of like that. There's no way to pin that down. There's no way, you know, might be true, might not be, also not be true. Whatever they're saying about a group, you know, a quote unquote group, you know. So, how do you justify speaking on behalf of a group when there's no way to check it?
Right.
Does that make any sense?
Or am yes, I it does. Okay. Yes, it does. I mean, you think about it. You have, like you said, who elected this certain person to speak on behalf of the group? You have people like Jesse Jackson, people like Al Sharpton speaking on behalf of the groups all the time, whether it's poor or whether it's somebody that has had an incident, you know, incident with the police or something like that. But
or,
I mean,
or you or
yeah.
black people in general.
Yeah. But if
people
he's
are individuals
speaking,
is all I'm getting at. People are individuals, and
right.
maybe they fit loosely into that category. But whether or not they suffer from the grievance that they're being accused of suffering, maybe not. You know, there's
yeah.
no way to check it, and
yeah.
that is the I'm trying to think of the word, the limbo that they get people to. That they sell it to, you know, okay, well, you can't prove you did. Well, you can't prove you didn't, you know. So
right.
it's just that la-la land of, well, maybe. Okay, all we need to do is convince people so that they believe this about that group, whether or not that group is suffering whatever grievance, whether or not.
Yeah.
You know, so, I'm just kind of talking it through right now here with you as far as, how to break through the whole media narrative talking point about, you know, so it's basically they're stereotyping groups. I thought that was bad.
Right.
Isn't it?
Yeah, like Bigfoot is talking about in the chat room. Al Sharpton is so badly oppressed that he flew away from Minneapolis in a private jet. But if you hear him speak, when he speaks of poverty and the oppressed, he says, we. This guy is a multimillionaire, but he says, we. And he gets money from the same poor people that he's talking about. He gets his money from them.
And that is a
they
perfect
made him
example.
Rich.
Right. That's the perfect example of what I said earlier, where he needs the issue to exist. He'd be out of business and out of power if that problem really got solved.
Right.
And it's in a situation where whatever is done to solve the problem isn't ever going to be good enough, which kind of leads me into the next thing here. Going back to the phrase progressive values, does progressive values equal wokeism? Because progressives think so. You know, I'm talking to my buddy and he's talking about his progressive values. I don't think he associates that directly with wokeism. Progressives are. And that's why I think when I hear the phrase progressive values, I hear an oxymoron. And
right.
You know, it's not like, and I came up with this too. Progressivism is not a flat line that will stay wherever it is that you think is right. They're never going to be satisfied. It's never going to be good enough. It's not just because you happen to agree with, you know, this particular progressive value, that's not where the bar stays. You know, human nature has proven power hungry people, cabals or masses are never satiated until power is consolidated. Power consolidated in any one of these governmental entities, that is the one, the few, or the many, is 100% of the time tyranny for everyone else. But it looks good on you, though. You know? that was a Rodney Dangerfield line out of Caddyshack.
Yeah.
I bet you buy a hat like this, you get a free bowl of soup. He looks up, there's a guy wearing the hat. Oh, but it looks good on you, though. Judge smells.
Yes.
So then I've got a couple other things that we've already talked about. The thinking for yourself through the whole voter ID is racist. You ask yourself, have I ever voted? Yes. Was it difficult? A little bit. Who would have difficulty doing what I did in order to vote? And you have to answer that question without sounding racist, like Joe Biden.
Right.
Because, you know, poor inner-city kids, they don't have access to, you know, to the Internet. Or, you know, people in Appalachia don't know how to use the... Joe, can you hear yourself? Yeah, you better... Yeah, just stop. Then there's the partisan test. Just reverse the party affiliation on any policy, comment, tweet, or article and see if you would react the same way. But you got to be honest. That is the hard part. That is the hard part. If all activists, whatever side they are, what would it look like? If all left-wing or all right-wing activists got what they wanted, what would it look like? But the thing is, you have to answer for both sides.
Right.
Okay. Now, the last one is, the follow-up to that one is, what about if constitutionalists got what they wanted? What would it look like? Because that's a big difference. I mean, you know, what the left wing thinks the right wing is not what we are.
they
won't go anywhere near the phrase constitutionalists. But so another thing you have to do is break down those focused group talking points. So as soon as you start hearing the same word or phrase from one or two, three, four, five places, you got to think it through to the other side. You got to ask, what does it mean? That is a powerful question. What does that mean? And you have to figure out what it means. You got to think through to the other side of the emotional word picture and dissect the word or phrase and see what you come up with when you do that. Because a focus group talking point is is meant to evoke emotion, period.
Yes. And that's what the left is all about. The left is about emotion. They're about emotion. Them with their doggone safe spaces and all this other stuff. They're about emotion.
That's why focus groups work with them. That's why I have been at least smart enough to think for myself and say, what does it mean?
Right.
Just got to ask the question.
Yeah. What does it mean?
Balding, you're playing golf with me today. No, I'm not, grandfather. I'm playing tennis. You're playing golf, and you're going to like it. The line.
Okay.
Thank you, Hank. That's a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Of course it is.
So I think the last thing that I have this week, and like I said, I'm going to probably hit all of these, but I have a document on Google Docs, and I just kind of like add to it when something strikes me or something hits me that I don't want to forget, you know, if it's just a couple of words or a point or something like that. I told you, I posted a TikTok on Facebook. The TikTok was a woman talking about the biggest lie that's been perpetrated on the American people. And I think I've mentioned it. And she was saying that every place you turn, every place that refers to our country, they refer to it as a democracy.
Right.
Our democracy this, our democracy that, our democracy deserves this. Our democracy can't handle that. Our democracy be unraveled. It's our democracy, our democracy, our democracy. Well, obviously, we're a constitutional republic, and it was designed specifically to not be a democracy. But everybody thinks it's a democracy because that's what they've been hearing for the last 20 or 30 years.
Yep.
Or democracy in the sense that we elect our house representatives.
Yes.
Every 2 years. That
right.
is the only thing that was set up as a democracy. Well, now every 6 years, I guess, we democratically elect our senators. A democracy, for those people who can't figure this out, You have to be comfortable any group voting on your natural rights or constitutional rights or civil rights. 50% of the population plus one person can vote to strip anyone of their natural rights, their constitutional rights or civil rights. And here's the thing. Even if you're on the side that agrees with doing that, it will eventually turn on you, no matter how you live. Democracy. That's how that
yes.
works.
Mob rules.
Yeah, exactly. The lynch mob.
Yes.
I learned about that in the Hillsdale College things from Larry Arnn was doing the lectures. You know, he said, the old democracies, like in Greece and stuff like that, here's the thing. They would make law by whoever showed up to vote, and they would take a majority. That's a democracy. Well, they would listen to somebody speak, and they would say, okay, I guess we need to go to war against so-and-so. Okay, yeah, I guess they do. And if they spoke, you know, well enough, that would be the vote. That would be the law. They're going off to war. Well, the next time they showed up, it would be someone doing a different set of speeches and say, no. Not only do we need to not go to war, we need to arrest those other people who said we needed to go to war. And then, I guess that's right. You know, so everybody would vote that way. And then they would go and arrest they would make a law that those other people had broken the law. And there you go. It's a yo-yo, back and forth, back and forth.
Right. Yeah, make it up as you go.
Very good, Hank. Very good. 17th Amendment, baby. 17th Amendment back in 1913. You know that. If you listen to my show here, that's a biggie with me. That is a biggie.
Yep. In the chat. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Hank's a gangster, man. Hank knows his stuff.
Well, that's good.
Like I said, I try to listen to his show live when I can, but I download a whole bunch of shows. I've got so many shows on my laptop. It is insane. And I try to download our shows too to listen, see what we can do better and all that other stuff. Cause we do a lot of winging it, but it's all good.
Me and you?
Yeah.
That's all we do. Yeah, we don't. Yeah, we've sworn off show prep.
Yeah, but yeah, like I said, I try to listen to all these shows when I get a chance. But you know, between everything that I got going on, especially now, because you guys don't know, but you'll know now. I'm moving into a new house, so I got that going on. And last week or the week before, my uncle passed, and then of course I'm still dealing with dialysis 4 times a week. I mean, luckily I do it from home and I can do it when I want, but yeah, there's a lot going on,
I mean, that's a 3 hour a night commitment, isn't it?
Yeah. And I still work a 9 to 5. So it's crazy. On Fridays, I get off a little bit earlier. And what I do is as soon as I get in the house, I take my dog out, let him do his thing. And then I got to set up the machine so I can get on the machine. So either I can get off before the show or at some point during the show. Because I can't do it any later than that because it goes into, you know, I'm getting off at 2-3 o'clock in the morning and yeah. I just can't do that. So yeah, so I gotta get it done as soon as I walk in the door from work. Mm-hmm. You know, luckily we get off a little early on Fridays and I can set everything up. So, but yeah, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on and, you know, trying to stay abreast of everything that's going on.
I know it's hard. It's not, you know, this isn't what we do for a living. You know, this is the tidbits that we pick up, you know, from what we have time to listen. I mean, luckily, you know, delivering mail, I can listen to podcasts and or, you know, live radio. Been listening to Dan Bongino all this week. He just started a new show, 12 to 3, on the radio. So no one can replace Rush, but he a couple of his stations are now playing Dan.
Yeah, a lot of people are popping in at the 12 to 3 hour. Now that Rush is gone.
Yeah. Because Rush still has a show. he still has a show. I don't know if you've listened to his show. What they have is they have obviously, you know, what do they call it themselves? They call themselves guide hosts, and they rotate like 3 guide hosts through, you know, 1 week it's going to be this guy. One next week it's going to be that guy. And then what they do is they run – like a regular show, but what they'll do often is say, Rush had this pegged back in such and such and such, and they'll do like a 2-minute clip of Rush going through exactly. Well, you know, one of those Rush was right things, you know, exactly what what's going on. What, and it's totally relevant. It's totally, you know, you know, applicable to what's going on today. Rush called this, you know, two years ago, and then they'll play the clip of him. So it is good. Oh, yeah, Hank says, his guides talk a bit, but play a ton of Rush clips. And it's all good stuff. I mean, they still have a show. They still have Rush reading all his ads, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like, you know, Rush had something to say about the legacy box, you know, and then they'll play Rush doing his live read, but it's not a live read, obviously.
Right.
He was underappreciated by a lot of people, but appreciated and loved by, you know, obviously millions. And, you know, I'm one of them. You know, I loved hearing him. Just his first hour monologue, his first half hour monologue, he listened to
that.
Yeah. It was awesome. He was a consummate pro, you know, and all that. So let me just back up real quick so I'm gonna mention, where did I put it? I had something here. Hold on. There it is. I'm going to revisit the 17th Amendment real quick because I don't know if Hank heard this take on it. I am in favor of repealing the 17th Amendment because I think that has the potential to reduce money in politics. How many people have you heard complain, you need to get money out of politics? You need to get money out of politics. Repealing the 17th Amendment would put it back to the state legislatures to appoint senators rather than all of us who already elect a rep. The same gene pool of people electing the representatives elect a senator. The only difference is they do it every 6 years instead of every 2 years. So right now, if I'm a huge business, and I want to lobby to get rid of my competition, or, you know, if I want to lobby to make my life a little bit easier, if I want to lobby to have laws that would help me make my life easier, I have but to send one guy to Washington, D.C., and all the people that he needs to have access to convince, to create legislation and lobby are in one place. That's because they are accountable, the senators at least, are accountable to no one. And the state legislatures have no representation in D.C., because they're not the ones that sent them there. If the state legislature sends a guy to D.C. to be a senator, and he starts palling around with lobbyists to do, you know, stupid things, the state legislature can say, "Yeah, we're good with you. We're gonna recall you and send somebody else that will represent our government." So that's what will if there's one guy that you can send to Washington, he has access to all the people to do that. If the state's legislature sent people in, that's who that senator is accountable to, the state legislature. So now the big business has to deploy 50 guys to lobby the state legislatures to send a guy into Washington, D.C. to do what they wanted to do. So it seems like it's gonna spread out the influence instead of consolidate it. Right now, everybody's, you know, in the past 100 years, people have been evolving towards consolidating power in D.C. Consolidation. Well, that never ends well. It needs to be distributed and defended. And I think that would eliminate the problem, or a lot of the problem, of money, quote unquote, money in politics. So I just wanted to hit that.
I'm with you on that.
To recall senators. Look at that. Hank Jones is on my same page. Yeah, exactly. And George Soros becomes neutered. Excellent.
Yes.
All right, Hank, I approve. Thank you.
Yeah, because George Soros had his hand into the 2020 elections with his Secretary of State project.
Exactly.
Yeah, that had a profound effect on the election.
In 2020, exactly.
Yeah.
And they've been working up to it, you know.
COVID-19 was just what they needed.
I think they installed it. I think they, you know, because COVID-19, let's be honest, how many people died of COVID-19 without anything else? Maybe a few, okay? But the people that died had other issues that were exacerbated by the COVID-19, including,
right,
like, you know, gunshot wounds and motorcycle crashes. He got listed as a COVID death. So I think they, like you said earlier, they were panicking, and they needed to stop. They needed to stop this train.
And yes.
They came up with that.
And I think even,
yeah. Go ahead.
I think you're right.
Well,
but you're going to say,
I
and
wish
even,
I wasn't.
Yeah, I know. We all do. But now we're sitting here in Crazy Uncle Joe's administration. A guy who can't even read a teleprompter, a guy who just—I mean, oh Jesus!
But they, I'm trying to think of where I found it. They're going to change. They're not going to call it a Biden administration. They're going to call it the administration or the White House. They stopped. I'm gonna try and notice how they refer to the administration. If they call it the Biden administration, because he's clearly not running anymore. I'm going to try and notice what they, you know, how they say it and how they talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you got it. I think you got a good point.
And now they even know that Harris is a doofus, you know? She was a token whatever.
Yeah, that's a...
She was
a token
glass ceiling smasher. That's what she was.
Yes. I hate to say that, seeing that, you know, as a black conservative, I'm called a token all the time. I hate to say that, but that's exactly what she is. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, she was the token glass ceiling smasher.
I just made that one up. So
that's a good one. That's a good one. But they didn't realize that she was an idiot.
Right. So the that raises a question. You know, I mean, how many times have we talked about this? Where Biden's like at the end of a question, you know, a press conference, and he's like, oh, I really shouldn't take any questions. I'm going to get in so much trouble. From whom?
Yeah, from whom? You're the president.
From what, Putin? From Xi? Maybe.
Maybe. Yeah.
I bet. And, I'll bet. And see if you can see. This kind of like popped in my head. I'll bet that there are times when he goes back to the office and they shut and lock the door and whoever's with him turn around and just berate the crap out of him.
You are probably right.
I can totally see that. For somebody who is in the position of being president of the United States that says, oh, I'm going to get in so much trouble if I take more questions.
Yeah.
He is frightened of
yeah, being. Yeah, he gets back to the Oval and they go, what the hell is wrong with you?
We told you not
to take any questions.
But yeah. Are we going to have to bring up the other guy? We're going to have to deploy the double?
Yeah.
Or can you do it? Do you think that you can get from here to here without messing it up?
Do you really think that you can get there? So? Do you think so or do you know so?
Well, there was this one time I had it looked like some oatmeal on my shoe and it turned out to be a booger. I don't know. Just something random.
Yeah. Yeah. And now they're afraid because they've learned, you know, because they were expecting him probably in probably 2 or 3 years just to fall off. And next thing you know, you got Kamala. But now they're going, excuse my language, but they're going, oh, shit, she's an idiot. What are we going to do? So
we just got to keep on defending it. That's what they're going to do. They're just going to keep on saying, no, there's no. The emperor really has beautiful clothes, don't you think? His clothes are the most beautiful clothes in the world. His clothes are the best clothes ever seen.
ever.
In the history of clothes. He's the most wonderful emperor.
Yeah. But he's naked. He's naked.
The little boy says, hey, that's not a leg. I got to give Bongino credit on that one. That's where I got that one. The little boy says, he don't got no clothes. That's right. Stay away from them, little boy.
He might touch you.
He's gonna want you to touch the hair on his legs.
Hey,
that's not his leg.
That's terrible.
Doesn't make it not funny though. I mean, it's a joke. Take a joke. Oh my goodness. Take a joke.
Yeah, they can't joke like that. We can. They can't. They don't believe in jokes.
Yeah, but you know, when they get with like-mineds, they're joking about it. You know, like, can you believe how hard we have to defend this guy? Can you believe what he said today? I had to come up with this to defend that. Oh, wow, that's pretty good. Maybe we should leak that one out to everybody so they can use that, too. That's good. That's good thinking.
Yeah.
Sitting around in the...
But Hank's got a roll. Thanks for hanging out with us, Hank. Cool. Have a good one, sir. Be blessed. Have a great weekend.
Take care, Hank. Thanks for coming.
Oh, yeah.
Good talk.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He was rocking in the chat.
Oh, yeah.
So, Oh yeah, he was rocking.
Yeah, that's right. That's where I got some of my inspiration from his comments. So that's cool.
Yeah.
All good. It's all good. Any callers? I want to see if Sue wants to pipe in.
Love to no callers today.
Okay.
It's just us, the fam.
Well, so, I mean,
it's all good. It's all gravy.
Sue is so gracious that whenever I'm doing a show by myself, she redeems it and calls me like in the last half hour. So that's nice. I appreciate that, Sue.
Yeah.
It's always great to talk with you. And
yeah.
She asks great questions. You know, she always kind of like directs the topic by asking a question that she wants to hear our take on, or my take, or whatever. And, you know, it's the way she asks the question, for some reason, always allows me to be, it helps me look good. You know, the job of the caller is to make the host look good. So,
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Sue is a superhero conservative.
Absolutely.
She's a superhero. Yeah. She's a superhero for real. I mean, she is a champion for conservatives, and you got to give her props. I mean, she finds stuff that we haven't thought about. She puts stuff out there. And like I was saying earlier, even when she's under the weather, she fights through it and she gets things done. She gets info out there. She makes us look good.
Right.
And everything. Yeah, she is a champion. She's a champion for conservatives. And we appreciate her 200, 300, 500%. And Sue has been around for a long time. She has supported us from day one.
Day one.
Yeah, day one.
Day one.
Yeah.
That's all. And we appreciate that. I have no idea.
Yeah, and technically,
even having been away, you know, for the amount of years that I was away from all this, you know, away from Twitter and stuff like that, I can look back and see that she was still with my name, you know, with my handle. She's still putting stuff out with my name on the thing, so I'd get a notice. So
yeah,
you know, she never stopped. Being awesome.
Yeah. So. That is true. And shoot, we've been around what since? We've been rocking shows since probably 2006, 2007.
Maybe you have, but I'm like, my book was written for like the midterm election in 2010, and I started doing my shows after that to promote it. So anything before that, that was all you.
Yeah. I mean, I originally started in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a recorded show. It was pre-recorded, and I would put it out every Monday. And then I fell upon BTR. I found BTR. And I ended up finding you and Voldemort.
Yeah.
And that's how we connected. And everything blew up from there. Got Doc Jones and...
I found BTR by getting interviews for my book on other BTR shows. You know,
Oh, really?
Yeah, just as a way to, like, practice doing an interview or, you know, practice talking about it and practice talking on, you know, talking about the book and talking on air and stuff like that. And then, you know, there was some people that I was talking with thought, you know, maybe you ought to have your own show. I mean, you know, and it's not like we haven't told that to people that we've talked to on the phone, you know,
right.
Good, you should have your own show, you know. And so that's all they were doing. But then, you know, it's like, okay, well, yeah, I'm trying to sell a book. What better way, you know, to to keep it alive, and that's kind of how it started. I started doing the half hour show, like once or twice a week or something. And what did we do? Yeah, we did like twice a week. But
yeah,
I mean, at the time, you know, just coming off of writing a book, you know, a person is steeped in current topics. So, you know, you're doing all this prep work, you know, and I was listening to probably four or five, maybe even six talk radio shows a day. I was even going down to the second tier guys and listening to them and, you know, just trying to extract a different point, because, you know, they'd have points that the main guys wouldn't have.
And right.
Then, you know, and then, you know, you just kind of go home, you look it up for yourself and check it out and, you know, just try to write a monologue and stuff. So, and then,
yeah,
then I ended up, I guess I ended up hooking up with you, and one way or the other, I don't remember exactly how we connected, but
it was through Voldemort's show.
Was it?
Yeah, I had just started BTR, and I was going through the conservative shows, just listening to some, trying to find somebody to listen to, and I ran across you guys' show. And I called in, and we clicked.
Yep.
We clicked when I called in. And it's crazy that I remember this, but I was actually in my car going to pick my daughter up from work. And I was like, you know what? I got to call into this show.
Yeah, that rings a bell. I remember that.
Yeah, I was in my car. I said, you know what? I got to call into this show. I said, these dudes are on it. And I called in, and yeah, we clicked after that.
Yep.
And it was and then I was invited to the round table that he used to have.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then it just went on from there.
Oh boy, memory lane, huh? Wow.
Uh huh.
All right. Yeah. Well, that's the backstory, folks. We're down under 2 minutes here, so. We're going to end up wrapping it up, and I'm sure G-Ski will play an outro for you. And we'll catch you again next week, but it looks like the week after that, neither of us are going to be here. We got gigs.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, my DJ business is picking up, and I'm getting gigs after gigs. So... Yeah, so the week
I'm
after
jealous,
that.
By the way, I'm jealous of that.
Hey, but yours is picking up too. But yeah, the week after next, both of us will be gone. But it's all good. It's all gravy because you know how we do what we do. But anyways, thank you everybody for hanging out with us. We had a great time. Thank you for everybody that's in the chat. Bigfoot, thank Hank for hanging out with us. Definitely got to thank Sue and everybody else who listens to us, whether live or they download the show. Thank you so much, and we appreciate it. And I guess we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, we'll see you soon.
Love you all. Thank you so, so, so much. And we are out of here.
You have reached the family of Airwaves America. Renaissance Radio presents the Dave and GC Rock Show. This is a show where we try to think for ourselves and offer thought-provoking, stimulating, informative, an entertaining discussion. Welcome.
That's it, brother.
That's it, baby.
Yeah. Another show knocked down.
Another one in the thing. Like I said, I'll download it. I'll listen to it tomorrow to find out what I said. We'll take it from there.
Yeah,
we're on page 3 from up from 7. So I don't know what makes it go that way, but
we're working it.
When I got I take the link that you send me in the email.
Yeah,
and I open it with what is it? Chrome. Because it says, you know, best if you use Chrome. It doesn't say anything about Safari. So then I open up another one in Safari so I can look at the chat.
Right.
So I have two browsers going. And the way I find it on Safari is I'll log in, you know, Dave Graham Live. And then I'll just go to, I'll hit the live button. And then I'll scroll through the pages. Well, last week and the week before was page 7. This week we were on page 3. So I don't know if that means a whole bunch of other people dropped off. or we somehow went up in the ratings. I don't know. Check the specs to find that out, I guess, but
I'm going to go we're moving on up.
We're moving
like
on
Jefferson.
Up.
Okay. Yeah, like Jefferson.
It depends how many pages I have to go through next week, I guess, to find out where I go. But, I mean, page 3, not bad for, you know, having 2 or 3 people in the chat or whatever.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes from Sue, because they'll see the link, and whether they can listen to it live or not, they'll go back and either download the show or listen to it later on. So I think you
can tell that by from your dashboard there.
Yes,
you can find out how many people are listening. So
yeah,
if that's the algorithm that gets us, you know, on a closer page, then that should reflect in listens.
Yeah. They used to a long time ago. They stopped it now. But they used to tell you where some of the listens came from. You know.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. They used to tell you where people got the link from or whatever and stuff mm-hmm. like that. They don't do it anymore.
Even what part of the world where they
Yeah. Yeah, I used to print that out and save it. I used to have that in the folder too. I used to keep all that
just
stuff
to look at and say, "That's cool."
Yeah,
because it is.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, it is.
Just, you know what that something like that does? What it kind of does is help you wrap your head around the whole process, the whole aspect of internet radio, you know.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah.
I see what's going on over here. I can see what's going on over there. I see how they got there. I see how they got that. You know, so that was the value to those kinds of things for me when I was doing it. I was doing the same thing. I mean, I didn't print it out and save it, but, you know, I'm not OCD either, like you.
Yeah, I'm a little OCD. Just a little bit. But yeah, I think we're moving up a little bit. People, of course, we're not getting a lot of people listening to it live, but I think there's a lot of people listening to it afterwards.
Well, that's knowable. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The page used to go by live listens, if I recall.
Yeah. Yeah, it did.
How far back on the thing you are. So that's why I said, I don't know if we got better or people dropped off.
Right. Yeah, so we just got to keep up.
Help me develop the help me develop the think for yourself thing. You know,
I got you.
You know, if you come up with, if you're talking with somebody or you're thinking about a conversation that you had with somebody, boy, you know, I wonder what they would have said if I'd asked this, you know. But that's how I'm getting all these things. I'm just kind of running, you know, conversations in my head. You know, I wonder what they would say if I asked this. I wonder how they would respond to this little tidbit, you know, or I wonder if they've ever looked at it this way. You know, like being in a part of a group, you're being stereotyped.
Yeah.
That's a negative connotation type of thing. You know, nobody wants to be stereotyped.
So. Yeah. I have to get back into the habit of writing stuff down. I mean, I was...
No, you don't have to write anything down. You have a phone on you.
I don't like that.
Send yourself a text. Send me... That's what I do. I send you a text. When I want to remember something, I send you a text. That's why I do that. That's part of the reason that you get texts from me is because it's a thing that popped into my head. Where can I document this? I'll send it to G-Ski. What do you think? You know?
Okay. I get it now.
So
back in the days, I was a crackhead. I carried around like 3 or 4 notebooks, and I used to write everything down. Anything that came in my head, I used to write it down. Or a conversation that I had with somebody, I used to write it down. I carried my notebooks with me all the time because I like to write, and that's why I used to do that. But I've gotten out of the habit. Look, right now on my little table with my laptop and everything else, I have 1, 2, 3, 4. I got 5 notebooks. I bought another one yesterday, but I just haven't written anything in them. I've gotten out of that habit. I don't, between dialysis and other stuff that I got going on, I've gotten out of that habit. I need to get back into that habit again.
All right. Here's what I'm wondering right now. Where does the crack pipe fit in?
It's an addiction for me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, feel free to text me a concept, an idea, you know, even if it's just a 1 or 2 words, and, you know, bounce it off me. Like I said, I get stuff, and I forgot to mention it tonight, though, so maybe it doesn't work. But the whole Antifa or Profa.
Yeah. I thought you were going to mention that during the show.
I thought, you know, you get caught up. I would have if we were really, you know, if we were really starving for, if we were both like 5 minutes saying, yeah, back and forth. Yeah. I probably would have gone there. Oh, wait a minute. I sent G-Ski a text earlier. Hold on. But, you know, but. In all seriousness, part of the reason when I send you a text, it's basically A, to remember something for show content.
Right.
And B, get you to contribute. You know,
okay.
not that I need you or want you to contribute, but just to kind of bounce it off of you and see and what you respond with. So you flipped me off twice today, so.
That was my stupid phone.
No, I didn't even care. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, that was my stupid phone because I have a friend of mine. He used to work with me. He left the company, but he's from Philadelphia. And we do this Philly, New York thing all the time. And I shoot him birds all the time. So when I bring up my phone, you know, the very last emoji that I use is sitting right there.
Oh.
So I'm mistakenly hitting buttons and that stuff pops up. I'm trying to hit a certain emoji and that pops up before I can get to it. I tried to delete it before, but I too late.
Listen, as far as you and me go, let it rip. I get it. you're in no. You can call me an asshole. You can call me whatever you want. I get it. So I'll look at it.
I remember I used to call you white bread.
Yeah, I didn't care about that. What did we call you? Hot chocolate. We called you hot chocolate. So.
I remember that. I remember one day your wife actually said that.
Yeah, that's what she called. And she would always refer to you as hot chocolate. She would say, are you going to be up all night, hot chocolate?
Oh man, back in the days.
Anyway, I'm having
do you remember we did it was, I can't remember whether it was a midterm election or it was a general election, but we did it. We did a show on election night, and everything was going all good. Till some lady called in and got all upset at us about what we were saying, and she called us kids. Do you remember that?
If she called herself blue, then yes. She was blue, B-L-U-E, like the color blue. And you guys need to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. And was that the one you were talking about?
No.
She was accusing us of not, because I made a promo from her call.
Oh, yeah, that was her, yeah. Yep. Yeah, she accused us of being childish and children and
yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
yeah. I didn't remember that it was an election show, but okay.
Yeah, it was an election. Get your show.
You know what? Get your own show. You know. Just whatever. Get out. Get your own show.
Yeah.
You don't like what we're saying? Get your own show.
Yeah. There's not a lot of us around anymore. Which.
What about this name, Jermaine?
Yeah. What was the name of their show?
I don't know, but it was the biggest show at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember those guys. That's where we used to run across Sarge all the time.
Yeah.
Sarge was something else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But he calls into that guy Vince, his show every Saturday.
Yeah.
If you ever have the time, the guy Vince, the name of his show is I think Black by Color Only, something like that.
That sounds familiar. He's had it for a while.
Yeah, he's had it for a while. But he's on another network. He was solo back when we were doing shows.
Yeah.
But he's on another network now. He linked up with those guys, and he does a show. I think he does two shows. He does one on Saturday, and I think he does one on Sunday. I think the Sunday one is like a church type show, but yeah. Saturday it's Black by Name or Color Only or something like that. It's at 5 o'clock. Yeah, he does pretty good. So if you ever got a little bit of time on a Saturday, you need to check him out.
What time is it at?
5 o'clock in the evening. Yeah, so. Yeah. Most of the time, as of lately, I've been gone because I've been doing gigs every weekend.
Yeah.
So, yeah, most of the time I'm gone. And that last gig that I had, I almost, and I was sick because I was directly under a freaking ceiling fan, and it was going like 100 miles an hour. And I was sweating because, you know, I'm bringing my equipment in.
Yep.
And it was a million degrees outside. I'm sweating. And now I'm under, yeah, now I'm under this fan that's going a million miles an hour. I've been sick as a dog all week. I know you've been hearing me coughing. I've been trying to mute myself. But, yeah, I've been coughing, yeah, coughing up phlegm and all this other crap.
Yeah,
yeah, so I'm trying to get over that now. I'm pretty good. I'm probably about 80, 85% right now. I'm not 100. But, yeah, I was sick as a dog. But I'm good now.
Let me tell you this. I told you the guy I was in a band, I was working in the band with, quit for no reason that he gave.
Right, right.
So I auditioned another guy. I put an ad on Craigslist, and I auditioned another guy. And so, you know, we arranged a way, you know.
You told me about this.
Yeah. And so I got together with him, you know, I said, okay, yeah, I'm going to get together with him. And, he's a retired guy. And what's up, Mitch? Okay. I'll have to catch you later. All right. Two questions real fast. Hang on, G.
All right.
No. So, all right. So I showed up at the guy's house, right? He's, like I said, he's a retired guy, and he's a really, really good guitar player. My show is needs a lead guitarist. It doesn't need it, but it is way better with a lead guitarist. Not only do
right.
I have somebody to bounce stuff off of, you know, to kind of play off of and feed off of, it's a better sound. Because MIDI guitar is, you know, hold your nose kind of. And,
right.
You know, so I was over there and we were playing some songs and it was going well. The show that I have, it's super easy. It's the easiest band anyone's ever been in, basically, because you have a consistent drummer and you have a consistent bass player, and you don't have to pay them.
And, you know, right.
And
we call that MIDI.
Right. And so, you know, he was having a good time, you know. And he had a, you know, a couple of suggestions for me because I'm, you know, as a new guitar player, I'm adequate for what I'm doing.
Right.
So as a jazz player, well, you know, well, that is really not a regular D chord. It's a D, it's a fifth. So you have to mute that other string or something like that. I'm like, all right, I'll see what I can do. You know, I don't have a whole lot of finger patterns memorized, you know, that I can just go to. So I'll do what I can. So we talked about a couple other songs. I mentioned I met his wife, and she mentioned a couple of songs that we thought would be good, and he ripped off a couple of cool intros. You know, I was like, oh, that's a cool song. I know that song. You know, oldies, you know, classic rock type stuff. And, So we parted ways, you know, hey, you know, we'll text for when we'll get back together and stuff like that. And, you know, if you want, I said, text me those songs. I'll find the MIDIs. We'll put them together and we can, you know, we can add those to the show because that's part of my thing is, look, I have all these songs, but if you have songs that you want to do, I'll get them and we'll do them. You know, I'm easy like that because it's easy. So I told him, I said, look, if you got any other critiques, that will help the show, that's fine. So he told me, I said, text me and remind me the songs that your wife mentioned. So he sent me a text. He said, one of them is, he mentioned a couple of songs by the James Gang. And,
right.
You know, they're kind of Funk 49 and one is Walk Away. And,
yeah.
You know, but I guess, you know, they're both cool songs. They're songs that I kind of recognized when he started ripping off the intro and stuff. And I was like, all right, I'll see what I can do. He says, nice. So then he goes on. And I'm reading the text right here. You indicated you're open to critique. Your spooky chord changes didn't sound correct to my ear. Four chords are E minor 7 to A6 in the verse, and then B flat diminished. Intro chord is B7 sharp 9. I can show you how to play them. And then another one we discussed. He says, and don't forget the F add 9 at the end of Take It Easy by the Eagles, and the D5 chord on Blue on Black. You have some work to do. No more just cowboy chords. You've been skating.
He's an asshole.
So, and I'll even say, okay, he's trying to be lighthearted with the you've been skating. I can see that he wasn't, you know, that's kind of a joke. So I thought about this like all day. I got it like I was in the mail route and I was like, I got a text and I was sort of like, so then I pulled over and I'm like reading a text at a mailbox or something. I'm like, what the what is this guy talking about? And then, you know, I ran through a gamut of emotions. So here's my response when I finally got a few moments. I said, okay, ... I am totally open to critique. However, what I think was revealed here is a fundamental difference in philosophy. The criticisms you're offering to me are very small and are, for the most part, unnoticed by 98% of an audience. I've been playing guitar for a little over a year and a half. If that makes me too much of a hack for you to work with, then I'm not your guy. While I've been skating, I've been memorizing lyrics. While I've been skating, I've been putting together this show. While I've been skating, I've been programming and editing MIDIs, learning keyboard songs, learning new songs, preparing and programming a light show, and most importantly, getting and playing gigs to the delight of my audiences, which are growing while working two jobs. I'm not mad or insulted. I'm just glad I didn't invest a ton of time before this difference was revealed. I thank you for your time, and I had a wonderful time playing with you yesterday. I wish you luck. Thank you. Cheers.
Perfectly said.
So then
I probably would have went off.
When he finally responded, he wrote, best of luck to you as well. So that takes care of that.
I guess you ain't got a lead guitar right now.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I got a line on another guy that I'm talking with, but he's not. His daughter just went through like a bone marrow transplant. Has no immune.
Oh wow!
He doesn't go anywhere. He can't go anywhere. So that's the thing. So he's trying to stay sterile. He's played in another band. He's got all the other band's equipment still down there, and he doesn't know where he stands on that. He had to cancel another gig because of his daughter thing. So I talked with him today, and I was like, you know, listen, I sent him a song list. You know, if you want. If this is something that you're, he's a really cool guy. I think we could really have a cool stage chemistry, you know, going on. He's got a, you know, he's the guy on my mail route, as a matter of fact.
Oh.
In any case, I think it would be good. I just don't know how cool he thinks it would be. Because I think he... still likes the entire live situation. when and I was pointing out, I was like, look, you know, you got a perfect drummer, you got a perfect bass player, you don't have to pay them, you don't even have to accommodate their schedules,
right?
You know, or their lives, or their wives, or you know, anything else. And so, you know, that's what makes my situation kind of cool. Two guys, I can sell it as a band, you know, call it a hybrid band or, you know, whatever. It's a band. But a band gets more than a duo. A band gets more than a solo act, you know.
Right.
I'll be up in a minute, mommy. I got to go.
Okay.
All right, brother. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good show.
I will talk. Yeah. Great show. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Have a good night. Have a great weekend. I hope y'all have some fun.
I don't know. It's my anniversary on Monday, so we'll see.
Oh, really? Well, happy anniversary to you, too.
I think it's 21 years.
Woo! All right. Yeah.
What?
Oh, yeah.
22 years. I just got corrected. My son is turning 21. That makes it the 22nd. Okay, I got it.
All righty.
All right. See you later, man.
All right. See you later. Happy anniversary, man. Have a great weekend.